History will be made this week as Victoria becomes the first jurisdiction in the country to set up an Indigenous Treaty Authority. When it's up and running, the authority will be Australia's first independent umpire to resolve disputes between the government and Indigenous Australians. The new laws, which are expected to pass the upper house within days, lock into place the first of three key pieces of architecture in that treaty process. Joining me now is Marcus Stewart, a Nira Ilambaluk man of the Tanarong Nation and co-chair of the First Nations Assembly of Victoria. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So this bill will create the Treaty Authority, which is hugely significant. What will that role be?
So we've described it publicly as the umpire. I guess for our community, it's the keeper of the process. So it'll hold government accountable, it'll hold our mob accountable, but also it'll facilitate negotiations for treaties. So we hope in the not too distant future, as early as next year, we'll see treaty making for the first time in this nation's history.
Both Canada and New Zealand have their own treaty processes. Are there any similarities between what Victoria is pursuing and what exists internationally in some of those jurisdictions?
There are, and there are similarities in the treaty authority. So we look at Te Hara Whiti in New Zealand or the British Columbian Treaty Commission. They oversee treaty making or agreement making. We've looked both at New Zealand, we've looked at British Columbia, which is a more modernised process since 93, and there are a lot of similarities to what we're pursuing in what we see in British Columbia, but also in the Sami Parliament.
There are two other core elements of the treaty architecture. Can you take us through what they are?
Sure. So how we've best described it is we'll have the authority, which is the umpire. We'll have the ground rules, which will be the framework. So what's on the table, what's off the table, but also the self-determination fund, which is critical because we move the politics out of treaty making as far as budget bids, bureaucracy. So we're really moving government out of this process and it's basically an equal partner in negotiations.
Okay. And when does government enter? Because at some point they have to, right?
Absolutely. So the way we've set up the treaty authority, which is a heavy focus on facilitation, not adversarial court processes, but really facilitation, mediation. Once traditional owner groups are ready and the First Peoples Assembly are ready, government will be invited to the table by the authority and we'll see treaty negotiations for the first time in this nation's history.
And will there be lots of them? Like, this is the thing. Explain to people who are not, you know, not Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander and don't understand how this all works. There are many Aboriginal nations. There's not one group, as you know, but I'm just explaining for our audience. So how does a treaty work? Is it just about an individual group doing a deal in relation to their part of the country?
It's both. So what we heard loud and clear while we were consulting with our community in every corner of Victoria was they wanted to pursue a hybrid. They wanted a statewide treaty that built elements of political power, and we're hearing a bit of that through the voice debate now nationally, but also and could target improving the lives of Aboriginal people, but also traditional owner nation treaties, so making or treaty making on their country in their aspiration.
The national debate over constitutional recognition and a proposed voice to Parliament is underway. What do you think of the conversation so far? We heard last night, for instance, Malcolm Turnbull change his position from being opposed to it to being in favour of it.
I mean, it's an interesting debate right now. It's very similar to what we went through in 2018. And, you know, the world didn't end once we all stood up as a representative body. But importantly, what our community's long called for and through the design of Uluru was an elected voice or a representative voice for our people. It's been disappointing how the opposition are handling it, given that they had passage of the legislative voice through their cabinet, through their party room last year, through Langdon and Karma's work, which I was also a part of. So I think it's disappointing the politics that are around it because I think it's a very simple ask, and that's First Nations voice on First Nations issues.
The Yuruk Justice Commission was a part of this process, the Victorian process, and it was established to investigate the effects of colonisation on Aboriginal people in Victoria. Its interim report in July found trauma is being passed through generations in families, so that intergenerational trauma is big. What will it look at when the hearings resume later this year?
Well, it's one thing we know that it'll target will be the treaty process. So the reason why we set up the Yuruk Justice Commission was one, to set the historical record of what's happened on within Victoria, but but also to gather the evidence so treaty can deliver the reforms. Because until we have an accurate accurate agreement of what actually happened in Victoria, it's really hard to reconcile, especially through treaty making. So we anticipate that it'll be looking at, you know, some of the key issues that we're facing now in Victoria, and one of them would be Aboriginal deaths in custody, well, more broadly across the nation, but also how does it inform the treaty making process?
And how does it? How do they all work? Because anyone listening would think, okay, so there's lots of different parts of this architecture.
Yep.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle, if I can put it that way. And how do they? How are you working on making sure they all interact together in a cohesive way that delivers real change for Aboriginal people?
I mean, that's a really good question. And what we've described, truth-telling, is the why to treaty being the what. So every government we know, regardless what side they sit, want to do better when it comes to Aboriginal affairs, whether we talk about education outcomes, life expectancy, I mean, the list goes on. But ultimately, we haven't had that evidence to understand how the systems and structures disproportionately impact Aboriginal people in Victoria and more broadly around the country. YORUQ is tasked with gathering that evidence to understand how those systems and structures interact with our people. And treaty can deliver the reforms as far as how do we reimagine what those systems look like? How are they in our shape, our aspiration to better suit Aboriginal people across Victoria?
Marcus, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Marcus Stewart is the co-chair of the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.